right. Let's do this thing.
One, two, three.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Build Your Best Business podcast. We are here in video for the first time. What's going on, Anthony? How was your week?
Not much, man. I'm really excited. You know, I'm really excited about today. My week was pretty boring. I didn't really do much. It's the holiday season, so it's not really much going on. I went to San Diego last week, though, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
We went to Temecula. More specifically, I don't know if you've been there, but it's like a big wine country area, a lot of wineries, a lot of wine tours, stuff like that.
Good deal.
So that was pretty cool. How about yours?
It's been a mix. I feel like some of my clients are really like, let's get these in before the holiday, and some of them are like, don't talk to me until after the holiday. So it's been kind of a weird mix, but
it's kind of good. Normal though, right?
I mean, that's 'tis the season.
Yeah.
You know, so today, guys, we are going to be talking about creative financing. Creative financing is anything other than your traditional agency-backed conventional loans or any government-backed loans. Today, we are going to go ahead and start off talking about down payment assistance programs. So what are down payment assistance programs? How can they be used to help you finance a home? It is an assistance for your down payment. I was actually just talking with Anthony about this today, about how a lot of our friends are kind of fall in this category where you have a great job, you're getting paid a lot, you have your debt really low, but the biggest hurdle to getting a mortgage is the actual down payment. And, you know, I don't want to shy away from that. It is very expensive to put a down payment on a home. So even for like a $300,000 property at 3%, which is the lowest down payment for a conventional option, that's still $9,000. And that can definitely serve as a huge hurdle for someone looking to get their foot into a property.
And that's not even considering closing costs.
That's just the down payment.
Yeah, the appraisal, escrow. I mean, that's not including any of those.
And these usually come in an FHA package. And how it works is you apply for these programs that are able to serve as a silent second or simultaneously closing as your first mortgage. So how it works is you would have your first mortgage, let's just say for an FHA, that would be at the max loan to value of 96.5%. And so when you have these down payment assistance programs, you're able to go ahead and get a second loan to cover the cost of that 3.5% down payment. So the 96.5% plus the 3.5% gives you the whole 100% financing. So this doesn't cover your closing costs necessarily, but it will go ahead and cover the down payment. And oftentimes, depending on the program, if you have at least 5 years of monthly on-time payments, you can actually have that down payment assistance forgiven, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's something to know when you're, you know, talking about down payment assistance programs is one thing to know about them is that even though they're helping get you into the home with the assistance, it's not always free. I mean, usually, like he was saying, it comes in as a silent second, or, you know, we even have programs with zero down where they don't really have to apply. They just have to have, one lender was 620 credit score and the other one was actually 680. And it puts a second lien on your property, which would just, you would just have to pay back normally. So there's pretty cool options with the down payment assistance programs. So one other way that we have, really creative financing is actually through a concept called seller financing. This is also known as a seller carry back. And this is pretty cool because it basically allows you to, in easiest terms, almost take out a mortgage with somebody else rather than going towards a bank or even coming to a loan officer. You don't even have to usually. So one really cool thing is like if you're trying to sell a property, and somebody wants to get into the home, they can, you know, you can approach the seller and say, hey, I'd like to do seller financing, you know, where you make payments towards him and he almost becomes the lender. And so that's a really cool option when, you know, you don't want to put anything down. So instead they take out could be like an unofficial percentage on a mortgage with somebody else. So then that seller is actually making money every month, you know, even off of the interest for, you know, the buyers. Usually these are like term by term, so there's no like regulation for these. This is probably one of the most creative financing. And I've actually seen a lot of people do this with like rental properties. And, you know, even like when they're trying to purchase a business, where they'll go to the owner and they'll say, hey, how about I make, you know, $2,000 a month payments towards you, or $2,500, whatever the number is. But then the asset that they're purchasing or the business is already bringing in that money. So they're effectively gaining something with putting very little down, and then the monthly payments are covered. So it's a, you know, a really cool option. Typically, to make this work as a seller, you're going to want to have the home free and clear. So you're, you know, not going to have a mortgage that you're making payments on necessarily. But one really big benefit with this is, if you're selling your home right now and you had somebody that approached you and wanted to do seller financing, you, like I said, can actually charge interest usually. And then that money that you're making off that can go towards whatever you want it to. So you can put that into another property that you want to buy, or if you have a second property that, you know, has a mortgage on it, you can start paying that off. I mean, there's a lot of cool options with the, you know, seller financing. I've seen it really, really popular in like businesses. It's really been a great way to get into a property or to get into a rental.
So that actually sounds like a lot like a lease to buy option.
Yes.
So what's the difference between those two?
Yeah, so good question. So seller financing is like where you already have the mortgage, essentially, whereas like a lease option to buy is more of, you know, I'm going to buy this property and, or I would like to buy this property in 12 months, 24 months, and then you're almost like renting it out with the option to buy later. And so this is a great option for, you know, people that are maybe moving to a new city where they don't know the area very well. They're not too keen on it, but they would like to buy. So they can approach somebody, you know, to see if they can lease it first and then buy later. And this is actually a great option, contrary to seller financing, because you can do this usually as a seller, even if you have a mortgage. So, you know, as you're leasing it out to somebody, you know, with their option to buy later, they are pretty much paying off your mortgage for you, or at least paying it down and just continuing to build equity in the home.
Nice.
So they're both really cool options. Typically I've seen like lease options to buy. Once again, that's really creative financing. So there's not like a set standard regulation for the terms, but usually this is like they have a 12 month lease or 24 month lease with the option to buy. So a really cool option. Definitely one that if you're looking to buy and you're maybe on like a budget, maybe this is a really cool option for you. It gives you time to settle into a home, get in, and then make it a home while you kind of save up your down payment.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, so another form of creative financing that we got here is actually a...
Oh my gosh, dude.
All right, so another way for, you know, creative financing is actually a term called hard money. I know Zach wanted to kind of touch on this one specifically. What's going on with hard money?
So hard money is more, think of it more as a business agreement rather than a traditional home loan. These can often come with very high interest rates, but it's an easier way to go ahead and qualify to fund the capital that you want. And so the difference really between hard money and like a traditional mortgage is that you qualify based on your traditional mortgage, based off of your repayment ability and the amount of income that you have, while hard money is going to be based off of the collateral. And so these often come with very low LTV requirements, so you have to have a lot of money to go ahead and put down on it. And they typically are used as bridge loans to go ahead and raise capital very quickly while you secure other financing.
So for our viewers out there, can you touch on what is a bridge loan exactly?
So a bridge loan is going to be a temporary loan that you get that's going to take you from one type of financing to another. And so with bridge loans, they typically don't stay for very long. You want to go ahead and pay them off as quickly as possible because of the high interest rates that do come with them. But they're good when you're trying to move from one type of loan to another, but you can't secure that financing for whatever reason.
Yeah, and the one thing to know about bridge loans is, is just to touch on it, is there, you want them to be temporary because the terms are usually not very favorable. And so, you know, I think with our brokerage, we have some hard money lenders that'll do creative deals if needed. Like, I know that we were working on a deal with a cash out we finance, and the credit score was not where it needed to be. For traditional financing, their jobs were really interesting. They had one of their offices or one of their rooms in their house be an office. And so, you know, there's all these different factors that were causing traditional lending to be really hard. So even though despite they had, you know, different credit card lates and medical bill problems and all these different things were going on when you're looking at the credit report, even hard money lenders are willing to usually work with that. Hard money are great options if you're kind of in a rough spot. That's kind of the best way to explain it. Really cool creative financing. I don't even think I included it in the intro, but it kind of just came to my head, is actually something called non-QM loans. Can you tell us more about that, Zach?
Yeah, absolutely. So in regards to non-QM loans, we have to look at first off what QM means. So QM is qualified mortgage. This is a series of tests that need to be met regarding the loan requirements to meet the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's definition of a qualified mortgage. And so these requirements often come in the terms of the amount of fees that can be charged, what the amortization looks like on the loan, the length of time the loan features, such as like a balloon payment or something like that, that can be predatory to consumers in order to be qualified as a QM loan. So in the non-QM land, there's many different types of non-QM loans. And the whole non-QM umbrella pretty much serves as a definition for any one of these loans that don't meet the CFPB's requirements for definition of a qualified mortgage. So for example, when would we be using a non-QM loan? So one of the most popular types of non-QM loans is the bank statement loan. So with a bank statement loan, you're going to be qualified based off of your monthly deposits inside of your bank account, whether that's a personal bank account or a business bank account, and the rates and fees vary based off of what you're going to use to qualify, whether it's a personal or business bank statement, and they average it out over the course of 12 months with an expense factor, and that's what you would qualify for your income. So in a traditional loan, you go based off of what you make on your W-2 and your pay stubs, and if you're self-employed, it would be your net profit after deductions. And that's what they would use. But someone that would be using a non-QM loan is, let's just say maybe a small business owner who makes $200,000 a year and deducts $195,000 a year, you know, for taxes for whatever reason. And they're only showing $5,000 on their taxes. If they were to go get a traditional mortgage, they would only be qualified based off of that $5,000. Yeah. Which can buy you nothing.
Yeah.
Another potential client for a non-QM bank statement mortgage would be an earner that is typically cash. And so, you know, everyone's employment situation is different, and especially here in Las Vegas, we have a lot of you know, applicants who get paid primarily in cash. I mean, and you know, when we're having applicants that are making, you know, $7,000-$10,000 a month in cash, but don't have any reported income on their taxes, they're the perfect candidate for a bank statement mortgage. And a bank statement mortgage or non-QM mortgage can serve as a type of bridge loan. Let's just say, for example, someone is going through issues with their taxes, and this upcoming year, they're going to report, you know, the proper amount of taxes that they need to go ahead and qualify for a conventional loan later down the line, but they need to get their foot in the door in a property right now. It's a perfect loan to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and even here in Vegas, where nightlife is so crazy and there's so many service-based jobs where there's so much cash flowing, this is a great option for even people that, you know, are just like a server or a bartender that take their cash at the end of the night and they deposit to the bank. I mean, that's still income that can be used in a bank statement loan. They're great options. Now, with a bank statement loan, what would be some of the major negatives of having a bank statement loan?
So the major negatives are going to come in the form of the fees you pay for it and the interest rate. Typically, they're always about like 2-3% more than your standard conventional rate, and the LTV requirements are a lot more strict. So typically right now I see a lot of our non-QM lenders for bank statement mortgages go up to 90% LTV, which is really good in the industry right now. It used to be 80%, which equates to a 20% down payment. But just think, for example, the difference between someone, let's just say for a $300,000 property, if you were to go conventional, first-time homebuyer, you could put as little as 3% down, which is $9,000. If you're doing a non-QM loan, bank statement mortgage, and it goes up to 90% LTV, that means a 10% down payment, which is $30,000 on a $300,000 home. Yeah. So you see how big of a difference that can be. But it definitely is a creative option for those who deal primarily with cash income, or they don't necessarily have a tax returns to support traditional forms of income.
All right. So thank you so much today, guys, for joining us and learning a little bit about creative financing, what that means, how you guys could be using it, and I guess just some of the pitfalls with some of them. I mean, especially those bank statement loans.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of nuances with the different types of loan products, and it's not necessarily a one size fits all shoe for everyone. And that's one of the best parts of being over at a broker is that we have access to, 17, 20 wholesale lenders that do a ton of stuff, hard money, bank statement, non-QM, traditional financing, FHA, down payment assistance. So we have options to go ahead and serve our clients, which I think is cool.
Absolutely. So if you guys got anything from today, our information will be put in the bio. So if you want to reach out to us and say hi, give us any positive or negative feedback, anything is appreciated. And thank you for joining us.